Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Last week we talked about who you are and knowing who you are. When you know who you are, it removes a lot of doubt, fear, and unbelief. When you know who you are, remember, where's that come from? It comes from what you're saying about yourself. What you say about yourself is more important than what others say about you, than what your parents have said about you. What you say about yourself is more important. And we need to begin to say what God says about us. So remember, I am what I am by what? By the grace of God. And so that's what we need to understand. We are who we are by the grace of God. And when we know who we are, then we're going to discover our purpose. And we're going to talk today about I must. And we're still on this idea of the words coming out of our mouth. Your words are guiding your life. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Where you are today in life has come from what you have said. And so you can release life in your life and others, or you can release death in your life and in others. Your words are programmed and are full of energy and power. And when they are released, they are on a mission, and they will accomplish and fulfill what they have been released to do. So that's why you can't just say what you want to say and what you feel like. You better beware of what's coming out of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2 says that you are snared by the words of your mouth. The word snared means trapped. You're trapped by what's coming out of your mouth. Job chapter 22 and verse 28. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. So he says, you will declare a thing, and it will be established. So remember, declare means to decree. So what you say, you decree, you declare, God establishes it, and then the light will shine on it. That means the grace of God and the favor of God will be on your life to fulfill whatever God has established, is establishing from what you've declared. So you have to say it. You have to speak it. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. And one translation says the confession of our faith. These two words hold fast make up one Greek word. And the Greek word is K-A-T-E-C-H-O. The word hold means to overpower, to dominate, to conquer, and to subdue. The second part of that word, echo, means echo. Hold fast, echo. So you subdue, you conquer, and you dominate, echoing what God says. See, the word confession means to say the same thing. That's what the word confession means. Homologio, to say the same thing. So he says, hold fast, dominate, conquer, subdue by echoing what God, saying the same thing that God says over what the world is saying, what your parents have said, what everybody else is saying about you. I'm going to echo what God is saying about me. Jesus is the high priest of your faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. He's the high priest of your confession. A priest is a pontifex. Pontifex means bridge builder. A priest is a bridge builder to take you from one place to the other. See, when you hold fast to that and you echo what God is saying, He's going to build a bridge to get you to where you're going if you hold fast to it. Folks, that's the way it is in faith. Because, see, we don't understand this, and we just say things, and then we wonder why our life is going the way it is. But we got to understand this. that Jesus is up there and he's wanting you to say what he says about you, and he's trying to build a bridge from you to get out of depression into joy, out of poverty into prosperity. Are you with me? Out of sickness into health by what you say. So today we're going to talk about I must, when you say I must, and how important that is. Remember when the spies went into the promised land, the 12 went in, 10 came back and said, they are giants and we are like grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. See, how you see yourself is huge when you set out to do the will of God. But Joshua and Caleb saw themselves the way God saw them. Joshua and Caleb said, we shall go up at once. They are bread for us. The breakfast of champions. In other words, they are bread for us. They knew they could eat them up. Are you with me? They had nothing for them. They were going to take that land. How they saw themselves either gave them fear, timidity, insecurity, or boldness, courage, and faith. There was two groups there. The rest of them, the 10, died in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb knew who they were and knew their true identity. True identity is not rooted in your birth, your race, or your heritage, your gender, your background, your experiences, your possessions, your achievements. It's not based on people's opinion of you because they didn't make you. They don't really know you. People will always underestimate you. Your true identity can only be revealed by God, who made you, and by your relationship with him. That's where your true identity comes from. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 41 through 50, I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of what's going on there. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This was a very celebrated festival and feast at this time. His parents didn't know that they had lost their son Jesus. After 3 days of looking for him, they found him in the temple, and the people were asking him questions. People who heard him were astonished at his wisdom, his understanding, and when they found him, he said to them, don't you know, I must, everybody say, I must be about my father's business. It was his I must is what fulfilled his mission on earth. And that's what's going to get you into your purpose. But you'll never know your I must until you know who you are. And you won't know who you are until you begin to declare who God says you are. Because God knows you more and better than anyone. All right. Now, by the grace of God, I am what I am, right? I am establishes your identity. I must establishes your purpose. You can't understand your purpose until you know who you are. If you are a microphone, you're going to amplify sound. If you are a watch, you're going to tell time. If you're a shoe, you're going to protect a foot. So who you are is a prerequisite to what your purpose is. Go with me to John chapter 10, verse 14. I am, there's the I am, right? Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And what did he say in that verse 16? I have... And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I what? I must bring. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about folks that maybe you don't like. There are people who are in the flock that are maybe not with you right now, and maybe you don't even like them. Maybe you don't think they belong in. God likes people you don't like. That's right. God likes people you don't like. And that's what we have to be aware of. There's different people. There's all kinds of people. Now, he opens with, in verse 14, I am. And his I am moves to an I must. From passivity into action, I must moves you from just being into doing. I must moves you from complacency into compelling. When I say I must, I am acknowledging that I am in the grip of something beyond myself, greater than myself. It's not just about me. I'm not on earth just to make house payments, eat, drink, and go to work. I recognize I am a man or woman of purpose when I say I must. I know that I am overcome by an undeniable force greater than myself. I must means you eliminate all opinions and all oppositions. There are things you could do. There are things you would love to do, but there are things you must do. When I say I must, I'm not living my life by convenience, but by conviction. Not by preference, but by principle. I realize there are certain non-negotiables in my life. You can be negotiated out of convenience or preference, but you cannot be negotiated out of conviction and principle. It's time to grow up in the things of God. You are not a victim, and this is not a victim church. You are not a victim. If your husband left you, and you're whining about what he said about you and all he did to you, find you another one. You don't have to stay there. If your wife left you and you're whining about all the negative things that she said about you and did to you, find you another one. God doesn't want you miserable. He didn't create you to be miserable. There's an I must in your life. Don't buy into the idea that I will never have a good life because someone betrayed me or mistreated me and abused me or did not treat you fair. Victims choose victims. Another Dr. Phil story. I don't watch Dr. Phil, but I'll tell you what. It wouldn't hurt you to watch Dr. Phil. I'm going to tell you, he has said some things that are profound that I don't forget. And usually when something like that's deposited in you, God has something to do with it. But he said something one time. This woman was whining about being into this abusive relationship for 15 years and all that this guy had done to her. And Dr. Phil looked at her. He says, ma'am, the first time you were abused, but after that, you volunteered. Folks, you don't have to keep putting yourself into environments and places of negativity. You know, you got to watch the people you connect with. You got to watch the people you get into conversation with. It's like the guy that was standing on the bridge telling everybody he was getting ready to jump. And the guy said, oh, wait a minute. Talk to me. Tell me your problems. And he goes up to him and he starts telling him all his problems. And two hours later, they both jumped. You don't have to respond to negativity. Low self-esteem always wants to shun responsibility. It's much easier to excuse yourself and say it's someone else's fault. Here in this church, we have hope, we have encouragement, we have edification, but not pity. All of us have had somebody do us wrong sometime, somewhere in our life. This is not a victim church. It's a victorious church. It's a place to become and to overcome because we can overcome no matter what has happened to us. God calls us overcomers. Why? Because there are things that are going to happen to you in life that you are going to have to overcome. And the only way you're going to do it is in Him and being connected to the body of Christ. When you realize your life has a purpose, you won't allow yourself to do everything you want to do. When you realize there's something that you must do, you're not going to just get caught up into everything else. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything is lawful for me, but not beneficial. Paul had rights, but was compelled to do certain things. Jesus said, hanging out with the rabbis in the temple, asking questions and answering them, a 12-year-old boy, I must be about my Father's business. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it was his I must that helped him overcome the temptation. I must. When you say I must, you sort out quickly what to say yes to and what to say no to. Every open door is not your open door. Some things presented to you as an opportunity may be nothing but a distraction from your I must. I've seen a lot of gifted and talented people crippled because they could not sort out the differences between opportunities and distractions. If you are successful in anything, other people are going to be drawn to you to get you to fulfill their agenda. It may be a good idea, but it will draw you away from your I must. You have to be able to delineate and know your I must. When you have an I must, you know how to filter things that might be attractive, but you don't get involved in them because you are locked into your I must. I must releases order into your life. You can separate the most important things from the least important things. You never allow the least important to dominate the most important. When you say, I must, you decide what to pour your energy into. You decide what to give your attention to. You decide what to give your money to. When you say, I must, you connect with purpose. The greatest tragedy in life is not dying young, but the greatest tragedy in life is living with no purpose. People will kill themselves and try to escape from living a meaningless life that has no purpose. Your understanding of purpose will regulate your life and will help you decide what you do and what you don't do. Your understanding of purpose will determine things that you say. The power of I must helps you decide what to say. You don't have to respond to every comment. There are times when everyone is talking and you just keep your mouth shut. It's not your business. It's not your assignment. It's not what you're about. But there are times you can't keep quiet and the subject matter is your purpose and the question you're called to answer is for you to answer and the problem is you have been called to solve it. You must open your mouth and speak. We are riddled with people in news and the media who speak because they always have something to say. But there are few people who speak who actually have something really to say. And you need to know the difference. Number one was what? One of my points. Our I must helps you to know what to say. Number two point is it helps you decide the people you are going to relate to and the people you are going to be around. When you understand I must, you understand the people that people who can make the journey with you. Now listen, when I went to India, we got on a plane and we flew to Hyderabad. And there was all kinds of people on there. We weren't united because of our race or because of our gender. But because we were all going to Hyderabad, India, that is why we were united. Every church is different. All people are different. It's not my responsibility to make you like me or to like the journey. You have to know who you are, where you are going, and that helps you decide who you are going with. I'm here for unchurched people, people who hate church, because a lot of people have been to church and they don't like it. There's 50-some churches in Sydney. We don't need another church, do we? We need a church that is going to reach people and do it with joy. And people can come in here and be shown mercy and grace and not have to give you an excuse why they can't put money in the basket and not have to give you an excuse why they have all these tattoos and piercings and not have to give you an excuse why they've been married so many times. But they are here, and we're glad they're here, and we're glad to see them. Amen? You know, last week I talked about how sometimes we can be believers and we get into this, like, subculture where all we do is we go to Christian movies. We go to Christian church. We go to Christian bookstores. We go to Christian schools. We just go to Christian, and everything's Christian, and it's Christian. And then we can't even relate to people who aren't Christian. We can't be relevant. You know, you've been saved, and you got your ticket, you got your passport, you're going to make it. But the idea is, they aren't going to make it, and we have to get them on board. Are you with me? But folks, we got to do what we can to reach them and put away all this fake and phoniness, right? And I'm not saying you're that. I'm saying we need to grow in this. And that's what really grace is. Mercy. Mercy. You know, it talks about mercy in Romans 9:21. A vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor, and a vessel of mercy and wrath. The vessel of mercy, it looked like the vessel of honor. The vessel of honor was the vessel that stayed in the church. The vessel of honor is what stayed in the church and was used to serve and help people in the temple. But now the vessel of mercy, they took it, and it always had fresh water, and they would put it in the town, out in the middle of the town, for anybody who needed it. And then they would take these vessels of mercy, and they would take them and put them on fence rows out in the country for travelers, that no matter who they were, they could always count on being refreshed by that vessel of mercy. You see, that's what we should be. We're to be vessels of mercy. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. I got some mercy. I'm going to refresh you with some mercy. See, that's the way we're to be. And that's the way the church is to be. Am I making sense? We're not going to ask questions. We're not going to, we're just going to give you a refreshing. See, that's the way we're to be. Is this making sense? Mercy triumphs over judgment, right? Now, this is not a normal, typical, fundamental church. We love Jesus. We love people. My greatest joy is to see people rebuilding their lives, recapturing their lives, and live it to the fullest. Make a difference in the world and have a great family and really help somebody along the way. That's my greatest joy. When I see people who are really helping someone who really needs help, I don't give a flip about body piercings, tattoos, what your color your hair is, what color your skin is. When you understand your purpose, you understand who can make the journey with you. There are not a lot of people sent into your life to help you reach your destiny. Go with me real quick. Luke 19:5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay. I must stay at your house. You see, this was his destiny. This was part of his destiny to get him to his destiny. Nobody else liked Zacchaeus. But Jesus said in front of everybody, I'm with you. I'm going to your house. He didn't care what people thought. A man named Zacchaeus, who was very short, couldn't see Jesus for the crowd. So he climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus was compelled by the power of I must. Number 3 point. Your I must will help you decide the places you go. You can't go to every gathering. I get a lot of invitations to go here or there, but my I must helps me to make the decisions where I go and where I don't go. You know what? You can't just go everywhere. It's because of the I must. That determines where I go and who I go with. John 4, verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. The old King James says he must go through Samaria. Samaria was not a place that the Jews went. But Jesus had an appointment with destiny. Remember? A woman with a notorious past. She was the key to the revival in that city. Jesus had to come into contact with her. And he didn't care what people thought or what people said. He showed up because of his I must. Acts chapter 18. Go with me there real quick. Verse 20. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, what? I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. Go with me to Acts 19:21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia, Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, what? I must also see Rome. Acts 23:11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, by Paul, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Now, the I must will determine the places you go to, people you go with, and the ministry you embrace. The things you choose to do or not to do are regulated by your I must. Luke 4:43. You can go with me there. Stay with me. And don't forget about Paul. But he said to them, what? I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this, what? Purpose I have been sent. John 9:4. Let's go there. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, or as long as I am in the world. I am the light of the world. You see how those two are connected? What are you pouring your life into? Jesus had an I must in the garden. How many times have you sacrificed your I must for your I want? You see, he was wrestling with his I must, do the will of the Father, and with his flesh wanting to not do it. How many times have you sacrificed your I must for your I want? You will be pulled between what you want to do and what you must do. Jesus went to the cross because of his I must. When your gear gets engaged, things will happen. And it doesn't matter what comes against you. I'm not saying it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be easy or hard or without difficulties, but you are focused and you are driven by your I must, and nothing can stop you. Nothing can deter you or delay you or hurt you. Yes, but nothing can stop you. Not a chance. Nothing can stop you when you know your I must. Whether God answers my prayer, I must. Whether people applaud me, I must. Whether people like me or not, I must. Something inside me is driving me and moving me. It's bigger than the applause of men or the approval of men. It's bigger than fame or fortune. There is a charge on my life and I must fulfill. There is a mandate on my life that I must fulfill and keep. A destiny to reach. All your choices are driven by your I must. What you accept, what you ignore, what you pursue, what you embrace, what you turn away from, give your time to, what you invest your talents and gifts in, are all determined by your I must. Your I must makes you cast off the things that are restraining you from what you're really supposed to be doing.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.